Lunch with Leon.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Lunch with Leon. Here we are at episode 97 as we count down to the magic 100 about the turn of the year. Very rare that I have a guest back on twice, but by popular demand, we've got today my great friend Emma Hignett. You'll know Emma if you ride on buses in London, if you ride on the Elizabeth line, also if you on go ahead in the Northeast, because Emma is the voice that you hear. She is the audio announcement, and she's been doing this now for a very long time. Millions of people hear Emma's voice every day. Because she's a voice artist, we always have lots of fun. And in fact, she loves to have fun, even with the sound of words. Because this is recorded over Zoom, she immediately latched on to the message that starts at the recording.
I love her. Recording in progress.
I know. Isn't she great? So I guess I was going to reflect on the fact that it's 4 years since we last did this. So you are one of an incredibly small number of people, that is to say two, who's ever been on this program twice.
Woo!
Brilliant. you continue to be one of the most popular episodes. And a tiny bit of that, of course, is it's been up quite a long time because it's been up for 4 years. But nevertheless, people are always talking to me about it and they always go back. So I got these requests that said, when are we going to have Emma back on?
Wow.
So I'm very
flattered.
So here you are. I have to always remember that there are people who haven't listened to our first episode. So I have to say, as I think I said before, that I hear your voice along with 6 million other people every day on every bus ride that we take, plus a few more on the Elizabeth line every day and elsewhere, because you are the voice of the bus, the voice of the Elizabeth line, the voice of Go Ahead and People's Model Railways up and down the street.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the voice of the whole of Go Ahead. I'm Go Northeast and East Yorkshire.
Okay.
So I don't want to take somebody else's job there. But that's what I do. I have a little studio. I've got one office at the top of the house, and I've got a studio about, I don't know, 5 meters away. At the moment, certainly this year, I have been recording an awful lot of bus stops and train stops and announcements for public transport. A lot of it.
Good. And Emma, you know, I'm going to say this to you. You've not yet been replaced by AI, right?
Oh, right. Okay. No, I haven't yet. I will be.
Right. I mean, the progress is amazing. As listeners know, I was at the Queensland University of Technology in Brisbane a week or so before this recording, where I was taught how AI will draft, compose, write songs, and who wouldn't want a jingle for their podcast that AI had done, because that's several hundred pounds worth of studio and artist time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So where do you see that going?
Oh, I think the voiceover industry, the United States voiceover industry tends to be slightly ahead of the United Kingdom. And we are sort of tracking what's happening there. And the sense is that people embraced AI and then kind of went, actually, it's not quite human enough. It's good, but it doesn't quite give the changes in pace that you'd have in a normal human conversation, or the intonation or the emotion or the empathy. So I feel personally, as far as my business is concerned, that the transport announcements will disappear. They will go to AI. And if I'm perfectly honest, Transport for London has probably over 70,000 announcements recorded by me. Funnel them into an AI system and, you know, you could have me doing your announcements long after I'm gone.
Really?
So I think transport will go. I think as far as everything else I do, the cheaper stuff really has already gone. The low value stuff has gone. So it's the companies that genuinely want it to sound, they want it to really work for them. They want the voiceover combined with the video or combined with the advert to really work. And they're the ones that are still going, actually, I want a human on it. I want somebody who understands what I'm saying, can get the nuance, can get the pacing or the personality or just a little bit of something in it.
Yes, because I remember you telling me about, you think very carefully, for example, about how much smile to put into your bus voice when you do. Because for the people listening to this podcast, this is not the voice we hear on the bus at all. You have a bus voice which has a particular way about it, which I know you, that's your talent. That's what you, that's what
I mean,
you,
I, that's why I, since I last spoke to you, I'm fairly sure. Yeah, it was. I had a chat with the person who engaged me to do the Transport for London, and he and I had a beer together. And he'd never actually told me exactly why he picked my voice. And one of his main reasons when he was looking for the voice was he didn't want somebody to get on the bus having had, young man has been dumped by his girlfriend the night before. And he gets on a bus and he's going down, and the voiceover goes, Oxford Circus, and you'd be like, you know what they would say in response? It would start with F. And so he didn't want that kind of voice that was going to be overly chirpy and cheerful. And so, he chose my voice. And I remember when we went into the studio the first time, I was new to it. Transport for London were new to it. And the producers were new to it. And it was kind of like, what tone do we take? Where do we? And I don't know whether I said this last time. I literally thought, right, I'm going to pretend I'm standing on a bus. And every time the door opens, I'm saying, this is the name of the stop, Oxford Circus. And so that's how I started doing it. And I guess because it was the beginning of those audio announcements on buses, that we've sort of gone with the way I do it almost beyond London.
Sure. And has it changed over the time that you've been doing it? Could I tell your most recent announcement from your oldest announcement? Is there any, has it changed?
I would say not generally, but the one thing that I would say did change was that after the first set of recordings, I thought I sounded too downbeat, too straight, and so I upped them a bit.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we might run a competition. I don't know how we judge it. We might run a competition, like.
To find those 2000 announcements from the first recording session.
Yes, although they might be the ones on the 149, because was that not the first route that we
That was the
did?
very, very first one, was the 149. But then, if I'm right, it came in alphabetical order. The first 20,000 announcements came in alphabetical order.
My God.
And we did them 2,000 at a time. And so it'll be somewhere, A, B, C, D.
Let me see if I can work that out. If I had, just assuming I had a spare day to do all that sort of
Hop
stuff.
on a bus and off you go.
I know, just listen to you all day. But I think what has happened over time is I've always been very strong as far as TfL and its predecessor, London Transport, which is that the sight of the red bus, the sight of the roundel, the use of the typeface conveys something about the organization, which even if you know nothing about transport and you've just landed from the moon, it's safe, it's insured, somebody's responsible for it, the driver knows what he's doing. And I think your voice years on now has become part of that as well. It's you are conveying what the typography, what the symbol, what the whole message thing is. We are a responsible organization and we take all our responsibilities really seriously. And when we're talking to you in our official voice, we will talk to you like this, and that's the typography and so on. And it's you. You're the voice of reason. You are the person that's giving clear information, and therefore I feel reassured because I know I'm insured. I know the driver's been tested. I know that this bus has been inspected, and I know from this nice lady who I'm hearing where I'm going and what the next stop is. So I see you now as part of the fabric of reassurance, which many organizations don't have.
Yeah, do you know what? That's lovely to hear. It's really, I know I mentioned quickly on an email to you recently that I was very proud to be comparing an event in Manchester, which was the Women in Bus and Coach annual conference. And that was a really, for me, because I've worked for Transport for London since 2006, and yet I've only met a handful of people who work for TfL and only worked with a handful. And so for me, the chance to talk to bus drivers and talk to the chief operating officer and just sort of, meet people who work in that world was really, really lovely, and to feel part of it.
Sure. And it's unusual in a way because modern management techniques would insist that you were immersed in the system before you even started. You would have been out for the day with a bus driver and you'd have been in a garage and you'd have had regular contact. But in fact, you did it in isolation and all that came on Indeed, decades later.
Yeah, very much. And I think it was as new for TFL as it was for me. And so it was sort of groundbreaking for the system. And it was, there was a little bit of feeling our way, but I've always been immensely proud of it. Immensely proud of it. And it changed my career. As I said to Louise, I was like, it changed my career, my whole career. I was doing something completely different. And it sort of changed focus of where I was going to go. It gave me the opportunity to freelance and develop a new strand of my business. And I've really enjoyed being a part of it.
Mm. It is a case with transport. It's a pretty incestuous place. People who are in it for a very long time. And they've worked for public and private sector. They've done various roles and so on. It's a bit of a trap. For many people, once they're in it, they're in it for keeps, because you could move and do pharmaceuticals or financial services or something, but nothing has quite got that reach of, how can I say, doing something in the background every day that lots of people rely on. And I think that's why transport is so infectious, because when I walk out of here, as I will do later today, it's all around me, and you're part of it, and you're involved in it, and you know the people who run it, and if you see things you don't like, you can talk about it. That's not quite the same in financial service, is it? You know, you leave the office and that's it.
You leave the office, yeah. Yeah.
Sure. I think that's why transport is so infectious. And that's why and what you're doing in Women in Transport is so important. We don't fare very well with the young people because they want to be social media influencers or video graphics or something. And transport is a way down the plan. And when in TFL, when I used to do my part of the graduate recruitment program, frankly, we were the last choice for many students, and even then they wanted to be on the underground. And so in general the transport thing was not good, and so we worked really very hard to make it attractive to people, because frankly bus scheduling is like clever spreadsheets.
Is
if you like sitting behind the screen being clever with spreadsheets, then you'll enjoy bus scheduling, because it's number patterns, it's efficiencies, it's and so on. So I think we've made a bit of progress, and certainly what Louise has been doing and the other people involved in Women in Transport and Women in Bus and Coach is extraordinary, because that's a whole new group of people. So we do now have a situation, don't we, where the chief operating officer is female, the bus director is female. So that whole balance has changed, as it should, because, of course, the majority of passengers are female.
Are they really? I suppose they are, yeah.
Yeah, and actually you should have a management structure and indeed a workforce that reflects the passengers, if at all
possible. One of the really interesting things, so as part of that day, I did a sort of chat, question and answer with four young people who were working various elements of the bus and coach industry. One did research and development. One was very much workshop, running the workshop, running the repairs and all that. And she had come from the army. And she, in fact, they all said that the advertising is often targeted at men. And even the advertising that's trying to target women is sort of targeted at the tomboys. And it came repeatedly back to feminize your advertising to target women, because women will look at an ad and say, you know, say there's a list of things that we think you should be able to do. The nature of a woman's brain is that they will go, well, I could do that, I could do that. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I won't apply.
Right.
Whereas a man might go, well, I can do most of those. I'll give it a go.
I remember, this is very long time ago now, early discussions about making bus interiors more female friendly. And immediately the comments were about the pink colour scheme and flowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff. Whereas in fact, what was really required was things like place to put your shopping, being able to be in a safe space on your own where nobody could sit next to you because you wanted to be in a safe space on your own, were the real issues. But the earliest issues were about flowers and pink cushions. So I think we've come a long way from that. The work that Louise Cheeseman and, as I say, the others have done on that has been absolutely extraordinary. And we are now seeing women in senior places in the organisations and in the operators and so on, which is tremendous. Lorna Murphy's just arrived in TFL from Transport UK, of course, being one of them. So women are getting into these senior positions, which I think is tremendous. And I think they've done a great job. Indeed.
And there's so much passion and determination, Louise and her team. So it'll continue, and so it should. They're great. They're really inspirational.
I do. So, of course, this is a story from the first episode, and I'm going to get you to use your bus voice again, because it's 10 years since we did that glorious cavalcade of buses in Regent Street.
Wow.
Where we invited you down and you thought you might get some shopping done as part of the light workload of recording into people's phones any announcement that the people might want. But the truth is, the queue went twice around the block.
We had to stop the queue.
Yeah, you were on your feet for the whole time. You didn't get any shopping done.
I got to Liberty's, right? To Liberty's, but only because I desperately needed the toilet.
I can believe it. But I remember of all the announcements you made for people, I remember the favourite one. And I wonder if you might use your bus voice to do it.
So I've got to do that, have I?
Can you do that one?
Oh, in my bus's voice. Right, okay. Please move to your side of the bed.
Lovely. Just priceless.
There was another announcement that Simon reminded me of, right, which was basically, can we have babies together? It was as good as the, you know.
Oh, really?
It was a proposal, and we don't know what he said to her. So if that was you, did he say yes?
Okay, anybody who's listening, the person that got Emma to record Can We Have Babies Together? Amazing. No, it was a super thing. 10 years on, of course, now, which is just terrifying for all of us. We are sort of bearing down on another anniversary soon, because in 2029, it'll be 200 years of buses in London.
Will it really?
Yeah. And look, I'm so old, I remember the 150th. And we're only five years away from the 200th. So yeah, it's from the very first Shillabeer horse bus service, we're approaching 200 years. So we're in some conversations about how that might be celebrated. So you're definitely in for that, of course, because
I'll be there.
I know that.
How lovely.
We'll have to repeat that, because it was such a such a tremendous success, although you could probably charge for it now, of course. That might be.
Do you know this? Maybe I shouldn't say this. I was driving home yesterday. I don't know why I got thinking about it, about buses and announcements and everything. And I was like, I wonder if, do you know, have you heard of OnlyFans?
No. What's
so
that?
I don't really know a lot about it, but OnlyFans is some kind of website. And I read something recently where the musician Lily Allen posts pictures of her feet on OnlyFans, and she makes more money from OnlyFans. You're Googling it now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
She makes more money from posting pictures of her feet on OnlyFans. And I was like, I wonder if I could do an OnlyFans with my boss's announcements.
Yes, there's a money-making idea.
I know.
You heard it here first. OnlyFans.com. Lily's feet and Emma's voice come together in a glorious...
I can't bring myself to do it. It just feels wrong. But anyway.
No, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? So do you still get requests from people in green ink asking you to do special announcements for them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I get one of the biggest things nowadays is the Roblox sites. So now you're Googling another thing. Roblox is, my son's 15. He used to be on Roblox probably about, I don't know, 6 years ago. And I think, I mean, it's a bit like Minecraft, and it crosses the generations. Certainly, it's not just children. But I think on Roblox, there are people recreating in computer form bus routes in London. And then I'll have people message me and say, right, can you do me the announcements for all my bus route? And I'm afraid I say yes. This is what it'll cost.
Well, indeed so. And so, for the avoidance of doubt, listeners, Emma is a freelance voice artist. If you ask her to do anything, she requires paying, because this is how she earns her living. If you are right.
I did have somebody email me back and went, oh, you get paid to talk. I was like, yes.
Well, they do say, you know, find something you love and you never work a day in your life. So if you love talking, being a voice artist is...
I know.
Did you find, though, that having such outreach across public transport and bus in particular, did that typecast you? Did it make it harder for you to do other things as well? Would people not want to use you because you were, you know, like Charlie in Casualty, you know, you could never get another acting job because he was always recognised as such. Is that what happened to you?
I don't feel it has. And that might partly be because I have my bus's voice. So I think the rest of the voiceover work I do tends to have a slightly different sound to it.
Right.
Now that is not deliberate. That's sort of just the way it has evolved. So no, I don't feel it has. I think it's got me into other places. It's opened some other doors for me, the buses work.
So in fact, if anything, it's helped your professional career as opposed to hindered it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And to be honest, you know, the chance to go and compare an event for Women in Bus and Coach, that's something I'm told another little, you know, string to the bow and something I really enjoy doing. So that was a really nice sort of little thing that's come out of the back of it as well.
No, of course, of course. And comparing these events is very interesting. So here's one of my stories. I was one of the people I admire who does this is Giles Brandreth, who, of course, as you know, is a master with audiences because of his language and wit. But in fact,
Yes.
he's not very tall. So you see, when you get to the bit where you have your photograph taken with the prize winner, he always stands on tiptoe just to make sure he doesn't look too short in them. So
Funny.
you watch him, he just goes up 2 inches when he gives out the prizes. And I also saw him absolutely wipe the floor with a rowdy table.
Oh,
So
good
these
on him.
so
Because
so
that.
firstly, there were two rowdy tables and they were really making a lot of noise, and he did everything he could to try and keep them quiet. And at the end of it, he really socked it to them. He said, "This is the end of the formal proceedings. The bar is open until 1 a.m. and all the drinks are on Travis Perkins from table 19." And embarrass them into this, which is amazing. But he's a great master of sort of controlling the audience.
That is the challenge. It is quite a skill to one, keep them coming with you, not get, you know, they you don't want them to be bored, but then, you know, things like if you want questions from your audience, to get questions from your audience, because your audience will be very good at just sitting there going, well, I'm not asking a question.
No, the
And
one.
also, you forget how nervous. So when you're doing an awards, you forget, or an event, you know, where people are speaking, you forget how nervous those people are because they don't stand up there and do that day in, day out.
No, indeed. So I just was the MC for the Bus Centre of Excellence annual conference. You ask for questions from the floor, but what you actually get are speeches from people who think they should have been asked to make speeches but weren't. And for me, I'm always saying, and there is a question at the end of this, is there? You know, because these people are actually. So in fact, I now say speeches from the floor masquerading as questions will be harshly dealt with by the chair.
I'll
Because.
remember that
Do that, Emma. Do that, because people just use it as a way of making a speech because they're disappointed they weren't asked to make a speech. And what you really want, of course, you don't want a speech from the floor. You want a question from the floor so the panel
one.
can answer it. So for listeners who want to hear you other than on buses in London, just remind us also where they can.
Oh. Do you know what? I always forget where I am. So, what have I done recently? So, today I'm doing a lot of buses for East Yorkshire. I've done a lot this summer for Go North East. London Overground, the new London Overground lines. That's been, lo I've really liked
Oh,
that one.
so I'll hear you on because I live on the Overground as well. So I'll hear you say Windrush line.
Yes, the Windrush line, the Weaver line, Lioness, yeah, those. So I've been doing that one this summer as well. What else do I? The Elizabeth line. Do you know, I've still only been one stop on the Elizabeth line.
Oh, really? Sorry to hear that.
I have a video of my dog on the Elizabeth line,
There you
so
go.
that's fine.
Well, it is the most popular railway in the United Kingdom now. I
Is
mean,
it really?
it's already grown to be the biggest in terms of passenger numbers, yeah, which is extra. And you know, this is funny, Emma. Every time I get on the Elizabeth line, I don't hear a single person say, "You know, it was late and over budget, don't you?" They don't say that. They just get on it. You know, they get on it because it's so good.
The one thing with the Elizabeth line was that we'd done all the recordings years before it went live.
Oh, really?
And then about 2 weeks before the launch where they were taking the Queen on it, they messaged me and went, oh my God, we haven't got you saying Elizabeth line.
Well,
Because when we recorded it was Crossrail.
of course, of course,
So we did a few last minute recordings.
including the name of the line, which is
Yeah,
amazing.
the name of the line, yeah.
And of course, that's your other important issue, of course, is that they can't replace you because then it would say if they'd have to replace everything at once or suffer the fact that it would be a mixture of you and anything else. So, of course, that's helpful, isn't
Which
it?
is why they will feed it into an AI system,
Yeah, sure.
you
Sure.
know, and you know, I could pop my clogs and I can carry on.
Well,
You
it'd
know,
be nice that you're immortalized forever. I mean, that's quite nice, including the man who says "Mind the Gap" at
Exactly. So, I mean, I had that conversation recently with someone. They were going on about, the woman who'd asked for her husband's announcements to still be on the station. And I was like, well, one, my husband wouldn't bother. Sorry to say. Sorry, Mark. The nature of AI is that I could go on forever.
Oh, that's a lovely thought, isn't it? That's really a lovely
I
thought.
don't know. I think that's a bit scary, actually, but.
So I'm not wishing any ill of you at all,
No.
but the fact you would be immortalized forever, and it would become a cult,
Yeah.
like Mind the Gap, where the Minister for Rail, Lord Hendy, has Mind the Gap as the ringtone on his phone.
I have heard that. I have heard that. Yes. I don't know what should I have him at my what's my favorite announcement?
You
There
did tell
was
me about what you told me one or two that always made you laugh.
Yeah, there's one in the East Midlands where the bus stop is called Egg Machine.
Really?
Yeah, and you occasionally get these, and you have to go and Google it. And there is a vending machine for eggs at this bus stop. And Little Britain will always be one of my favourites.
Oh, do Little Britain for us. We did it in the outtakes last time. We didn't. It
Did
wasn't in the
we?
episode. We did it when we were chatting afterwards. So
Yeah.
I don't have the recording of you doing Little
Oh,
Britain.
it was Little Britain. Yeah, literally when I was in the studio and it came up on the script, and I went, Little Britain, really? As you can tell, I don't read my scripts ahead of time because there's normally thousands of announcements on it.
Well, yes, it must be pretty tedious to be on the train reading lists and lists of names of
Well,
places.
yeah, no, it's I don't read them up front, but nowadays, and I do them in my little studio, and places like Yorkshire and the Northeast have some very strangely pronounced places
So
where,
do you get people writing in saying you haven't pronounced the name of the place correctly?
yeah. I did. We did for East Yorkshire recently,
Right.
and there was one literally 2 days ago, and I haven't sent the audio yet. I'm doing that after this, and I Googled it, and so I'm hoping Google gave me the right answer.
Of course. In fact, there's been a case recently that because of what's going on in the steelworks in Wales, the LBC newscaster keeps on saying Port Talbot, and people keep writing in and saying it's Port Talbot. It's
Yeah.
one. It is one word in
But
speech.
the thing is, I've always wondered because, there's things in London like Marylebone, Marylebone, where people pronounce it two ways, or the classic one from when we originally did them was Lido and Lido. People do pronounce it both ways. And I do wonder whether, as time goes on, because the buses announcements will always be the way I pronounce it, that actually I'm sort of going to influence
Major
the
major
language.
influence on the development of the English language by AI.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. That is just yes, because
That'll be
effectively,
somebody's PhD in about 20 years'
yes,
time.
because you're effectively immersing the public, including the young, into your way of pronouncing certain sorts of words that have in the past been said in different ways, partially because there was more written stuff than spoken. And so Lido or Lido, whichever way you pronounced it,
I don't know
will
which
become.
ones are, to be honest, I don't know which one is still on the buses.
I'll go and find out. I'll do that.
Go on a quick bus
I'll
trip.
get on an E7 to Ruislip. Yes, that would be interesting. There's an interesting subject. The influence of the English
Yeah.
language
Yeah.
caused by the mass
By
production
from
of
this,
announcements by one person.
by this random person who was picked out of the ether and with a very confused accent, having been brought up in the Northwest, spent a lot of time in the London area, adopted the London accent, but still with a little tinge of Northwest in it.
Sure.
Got a father from Liverpool and a mother from Ireland. My accent should be all over the place.
Other people, given we have a podcast for every hour of the day now, other people you like to listen to because you like the sound of their voices as well as the content of it, other people you admire?
I think it's more the other way around that there are people whose voices annoy me and therefore I won't listen to them.
I'm not going to ask you
No,
to
but
put them
I do quite often sit and watch the telly and go, that's the wrong voice for that advert.
to. Really?
Yeah. Or occasionally, that is really the right voice for that advert. But yeah, I'm a bit more of a. But that's anybody who works in their field. Whatever field you work in, you are going to have an area of expertise in it, we hope, and an opinion. So, you must sit there at times and go, that bus company is not being run quite. I would run it differently, kind of
No,
thing.
not
Or.
sure. No, you're right. And the other one that always grates with me is that when ordinary transport staff are required to make manual announcements, if you like. You get this huge range of capability. The people who won't stop talking, and the people who, you know, maybe English is not their first language, or they have a heavy dialect, or they don't quite understand what they're saying, or they've said it so many times. They've said, text the British Transport Police on 61016, see it, say it, sorted.
Yeah.
To the point of being annoying. And so you then tend to gabble it, don't you? Because you just want to get through.
Do you know what? That see it, say it, sorted. I struggle with that because I'm overanalyzing what I'm saying. And so I really concentrate. Well, why should I put the emphasis on that? Yeah. So, I mean, I do it so many times. I recorded it this week. But every time I'm like, oh, here we go. We'll see it, say it, sorted again.
But of course, it loses its effect, doesn't it? Because on the one hand, it's meant to be hardwired into your brain, so as you are prepared for if you see anything suspicious and what you're supposed to do. But on the other hand, it is used now so much that it feels to me like we filter it out.
I'm sure you're right. I, however, because whenever it comes up on a script, I overanalyze it. I then, when I hear it, I pay attention to how they've said it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, they did it like that. Okay, right, okay. It was quite funny. I mentioned earlier we were away last week and we ended up flying on Spanish airline. And both my son and I speak Spanish to a degree. You know, he's doing GCSE. And that is, we're both like, oh, come on, let's try and, you know, we know vaguely where the announcement's going to be going. Have a listen to it. But that is real evidence of people who say this over and over and over again. And they will just rattle through it really quickly. We couldn't get a word of it in Spanish.
Really?
We couldn't get a word of it.
Wow.
Because we very much felt that they were like full steam ahead.
Yeah.
Because they know what they're saying and they've said it a million times. We all do it. We all talk all day, every day.
Mm.
And yet to get the right message through in the right environment is an interesting one. Someone asked me recently if I had any control over the volume of the messages.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, no, not my department.
It is interesting that people think that. As I remember somebody, a TV personality, saying that she was interviewing somebody who said, look, I'm only going to tell you this. And she said, no, you're on television, so millions of people. No, I just want to tell you.
That's a very good interviewer.
Isn't it just? Isn't it? Makes just the only people in this conversation are you and me.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, that's the feedback we get on this podcast, which is that one of the things people like is they feel like they're eavesdropping into a private conversation between two friends at a bar.
And yeah, well,
I've always loved that because you and I are chatting like we often chat. The only thing is this time, subject to filtering out one or two bits, this is a conversation that if you and I were in a bar together, this is a conversation somebody else could hear. And they like that. Thank you, audience. But you've told me you like effectively being a virtual eavesdropper. In a private conversation.
Yeah. I should ask you, have you been back to Beamish?
Actually, I haven't since we spoke. Terrible admission.
So for people listening, I live in the Northeast, and if you know the Northeast, it has a fabulous living history museum called Beamish, and I haven't been there now. I think I had a Ukrainian family with me for a year, so I will have taken them at some point to Beamish. So that would have been about a year and a half ago is the last time I went. But so, you went and did the transport.
Yeah, and in fact, we did an interview with Sally Dixon from Beamish and also Martin Gilbert, who happened to be there. We recorded his podcast whilst we were at Beamish. So, Emma, there's our answer. I'll tell you when I'm coming up to Beamish and I'll meet you there. How's that?
Absolutely. Great. Yeah.
Let's do it in the better weather, not the winter.
Ironically.
So, Emma, look, as ever, we could go on forever, but
we could just natter and natter and natter.
It would be great. I've been looking forward to this so much. Thrilled that you came back and is part of the small elite group of people who have been on this podcast more than once. Let's not leave it for years before
we
do another one. We'll meet up in Beamish and have some fun. But Emma, as I say, you have always been a great friend to the transport industry, and the fact that we uniquely hear your voice millions of times a day across the network is just extraordinary. So thank you.
To me, you say extraordinary, I say scary, but lovely talking to you, Leon. It's been really lovely.
Thank you. This has been Lunch with Leon, which is produced in association with Passenger Transport Magazine. Please do check them out at passengertransport.org. If you like this episode, please subscribe. Please even leave us a rating. And finally, if you're asking Emma to do anything for you, her invoice comes in the post. And let's not forget she's
a that's the old-fashioned way. It goes by email nowadays.
And finally, I did say during the episode how I'd learned how to get artificial intelligence to compose, write, and perform music, which is a new skill I've only had for about 3 weeks, thanks to my visit recently to Brisbane. So I gave the AI engine all the news about Emma, and of course it wrote a song about her. Here it is. Emma's voice is loud and clear, guiding us on this wild frontier. Every stop, every street we know, she's the star of the travel show. Riding through the city, hear her chime. She helps you align. Every bus, every stop, her voice leads. In London, Emma's what the traveler needs. Emma's whisper guides us on our way. In every double decker, she saves the day. With a smile and a tone, calming her inflection. She's the compass of this urban connection. Journey into London with a gentle voice. Making millions scream with every choice. She's the soul of the commute in the city haze. Emma's charm turns the case.